all, welcome. Pull up a chair. Gather around the campfire. Let's enjoy some time together this afternoon, this evening, this morning, whenever you're listening. I appreciate you being here. Join us to the next episode, another episode. It's been a little while. But new episode of Fenced Force is coming at you, and we thank you for being a part of it. Here we go. Let me roll out the red carpet today and kind of tell you what we're working with, what we're dealing with. We've got quite a few fishing updates. We're at least getting us caught up to speed on how the tournament season's going. If you haven't been watching the videos from the BFL Volunteer Trail and the Morristown Marines, the regular season for tournaments for me and John and myself as a team, and even Christopher, who fished the South Holston and Morristown with us, it's wrapped up. I feel like it wrapped up really, really quickly, at least the regular season stuff. It was done before June even got here. So we're looking at some new kind of things fishing-wise this summer, and we'll get into all of that, new in a lot of different ways. But we also, before we get into anything else, this is very important, there's a giveaway that this video is a part of, which is really cool. And I'll explain that here in just a second, right after we do the first of the episode. And this is a very, very funny verse to me because I'm a goofball and I think that this is entertaining. But not like joking. Well, actually, it is in a ha-ha way funny to me. But we're going to be in Genesis for the verse of the episode. It's Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. Here's how I stumbled upon this. This summer, I'm working at a golf course, Beaver Brook, here in Knoxville, which is the same golf course I worked at for like the last 8 summers ever since I was a freshman in high school. It's what I've done in the summertime. Every year except for last year. So I'm working there this year. I'm like, you know, I'm listening to music all day. Sometimes you get tired of music and you can't find a podcast for the new episodes you like to listen to. And I'm like, you know, I want to go. I'll see if I can just listen to as much of the Bible as I can this summer on audio, which is not the same as reading it because you're not the one reading it and you can't like mark something up when you're listening to it. But I was like, I'll see how much I can get listened to at the golf course before the summer gets up. And I came across a name that I love, this name. It's a great name. I did not know that there was a person in the Bible with this name. And it turns out there's more than one. But it's the name Gomer. I had no idea there was a Gomer in the Bible until I was listening to Genesis 10, verse 2. He's one of Japheth's sons. And so I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. And there's something else that's even funnier to this than me, whether it should be or not. But I think it just shows how much, well, I'll get there in a minute. Okay, Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. These are the generations of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood. I mean, I guess you only got so much to do when you're on a boat for 40 days. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshesh, and Tyrus. I don't know if I'm saying any of those right, but I know I'm saying Gomer right. And there's also a Javan, probably pronounced Javan. I'm not sure, but it's J-A-V-A-N. I'm going to pretend it's Javan. I think not only did I not know there was a Gomer in the Bible, this has to be the first time that there have ever been two brothers that have been born and where you have a Gomer and a Javan who are brothers. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. Just shows how unified. How the Bible really just it encompasses all of us. The Gomers and the Javans, and also the Tubals, Meshes, Tyrus, Magog, and Madais. They're Japheth's 7 sons. I think that's awesome. And I was like, I stopped. And I think I was changing cups at the golf course. And I was like, Gomer? I said, Gomer? I backed it up. It's like, Gomer. And there's another one that's a female Gomer. So if you're looking for... If you're looking for a name for your little baby girl, maybe Gomer is what you settle on. I don't know. Anyways, I don't say that. I don't mean for that to come across as a bad thing for me to find funny, but I just think that that's hilarious. Just because I the only reason I think that's funny is because I don't see anybody in my head other than Gomer Pyle being born into Japheth in biblical times. Is here's our son Gomer. And you're like, hi, y'all. How's it going? I just think that's funny. Okay. I also don't think that any Gomers nowadays have children named Ashkenaz Rapoth, I don't know, and Togarma. Anyways, all right. So that's the verse of the day. I just thought I had to share. All right. So giveaway. Here's the giveaway. Here's the good news. If you're already subscribed, you're already entered into it on YouTube. But we've got some new hats. We've got another order of hats. We've got the gray ones. We've got the red one, the maroon one, which is the one that I've been wearing the most. It's probably my favorite. We've got the loading green, the kind of army-ish green looking, solid green one. More of the grays. And we also now have a camo one. I thought it was a little bit less of the kind of like stock camo like that, but it turned out looking pretty good. So camo, gray, maroon, and green. And you can win one. You can win one two different ways. We're giving two of them away on Monday. So this is probably getting uploaded on Saturday night. So you got 2 days to enter into this. If you're already subscribed, then you're already entered. I'm going to pull one subscriber is going to win a hat. They can pick which one they want and some stickers. And also on Instagram. So our Instagram is just @FencedForest. And if you like the post, follow us there and tag two people, then you're entered into it on Instagram. There's only been like 10 people in there so far because we just put it up. So go find that and you can enter. It'd be awesome. And I'll send you a hat. Or I'll just, if you live in Knoxville or close to it, I'll just bring it to you. Anyways, all right. So that's order business one and two. All right. So fishing wise, here's kind of a fishing update. We had, and this was really nice. Oh, also, this episode unofficially brought to you by Orange Dreamsicle Rain. Straight Cast is brought to you by 10 Cup Whiskey. We're brought to you by Rain Total Body Fuel. Okay. All right, so here's what was cool about the last two VFLs in Morristown Marines is both of them, it was Douglas and it was South Holston. You had the Morristown Marine on Douglas. Then a week later, you had the BFL on Douglas. You had the Morristown Marine on South Holston. And then the week after that, you had the BFL on South Holston. The good news is that, I guess it's good news, is that every time I did better in the BFL than every time, both times, I caught them better the second week than the first. Sometimes we really didn't catch them very good in the first week at all. Douglas was fishing with, I was fishing with John. And the problem with Douglas both times is that we could catch a ton, caught a ton of fish, a bunch of keepers, and just couldn't get any big bites. The only big bite that I had on Douglas, I had the day before the BFL. I took off and went on the Friday and caught like a 5-pounder on a chatterbait, skipping docks, and could catch them on Saturday, skipping docks with a chatterbait, but they were all, I think I caught like 1 2.5-pounder. And just couldn't catch, and I had 1 3-pounder that day before. That I didn't realize it was on a bed. I didn't see it, but I caught one off a bed flipping in the morning. But the Morristown, we just didn't have any. We just had five little keepers. And then Douglas with the BFL had 10.5 pounds, I think. 10 something. I don't think I had 11, but I know I had 10. And it was, I had 2 2.5-pounders and a 3 and then 2 little ones. Something like that. And I caught the 3-pounder about 10 minutes before takeoff does in that creek right across from Dandridge, just off of a boat ramp. But caught a ton. I do shout out to my co-angler at Douglas, who actually both of them, my co-anglers at Douglas and South Holston were the coolest guys ever. And I mentioned this in the South Holston video, which I was fishing with Jonathan Hankins from, is either Virginia or West Virginia? Jonathan, I'm sorry. I think it's Virginia. Yeah, because he was close to Roanoke, which is where Dana went to college, undergrad. Anyways, I mentioned in the South Holston video at the very beginning of it that it's so nice when you can talk to somebody on the phone and you're like, okay, tomorrow's going to be enjoyable because this person is obviously positive and looking forward to it. And that's nice because it stinks when somebody's like, ugh. And I'm positive, kind of. I try to be an upbeat person anyways. And when somebody's like, why are you catching them? All right, see you in the morning. Hope we catch them. But they're both awesome. So anyways, and my guy from Douglas, he was from Clemson, from South Carolina, close to Hartwell, which is now like probably in my top 5, maybe 3 favorite lakes. At least 5. Anyways, so I caught one good one. Just Texas rig in there. I caught a couple. I think my other two good ones at Douglas that week came on a spinnerbait, and I might have been both spinnerbait. Spinnerbait, chatterbait, Texas rig, and then the rest of them just caught on whatever. Oh, but I caught some flipping that day too. That was fun. I had not caught them the day before or the week before flipping bushes, but I thought I should be able to. And we got to catch some flipping bushes that day, which that was fun. But anyways, that was day one. That's kind of whatever. I was like 60th at Douglas, which is terrible. It's not good. I'm not condoning a 60th place finish. But I think like 11-14 or 11-15 got a check. It was just like it was for the Open, where it was like 10 spots was 10 ounces difference. But anyways, it was fun. It was fun. I mean, it's a blast. Because you could catch them doing about whatever you want to. Except top water. I couldn't catch them on top. I know some guys were. And I couldn't catch them out deep. I tried fishing deep just the day of some places where I've caught deep before. And it just it wasn't happening for me. So I went back shallow and went back to catch them. But anyways, South Holston was a little bit more tricky for me. And it usually is. And this is my weird thing with South Holston. Is that I think this was the third time I'd fished it. Maybe fourth. Third. I really don't know. Just like I can see memories leaving my brain. It doesn't matter. Third or fourth. And second time I'd fished it this time of year, which is like late May or middle May, late May. And everything here has kind of been behind anyways. So it was more like it would be fishing in early May probably. But anyways, I'll go up there and it's very, very, I don't know what the word is. It's very spurty for me. Like I'll fish for 5 hours, never have a bite, and then blast them in an hour. And then not catch them for the rest of the day. It's just really, really sporadic. But when they're biting. I mean, it's a blast. With the Morristown, Christopher and I didn't go up beforehand. That's not true. We went up we got there to fish about an hour on Friday night. Oh, okay. Important lesson here. I'll circle back. We got to the 421 bridge ramp about an hour before dark on Friday night. And we put the boat in, and we caught three or four, all really solid smallmouth on a swim jig, and he caught one on a spinnerbait. He caught a largemouth on a spinnerbait. That was like in an hour that before, I'm like, dude, this is going to be freaking awesome. They're chewing. And then we caught less fish all Saturday than we did on Friday. And I just talk about feeling clueless. Felt clueless. But the lesson in that is not a fishing lesson. The lesson is if you're going to South Holston, and you're somebody like me that you're really cheap because you don't have any money or not enough to go buy a hotel room in Bristol or even Airbnb. If you're just sleeping and you're sleeping at a boat ramp, don't sleep at the 421 bridge ramp. Don't do it. You won't feel safe. I didn't feel safe. Lord, we had guns and we didn't feel safe. No, I mean, but really though, that's just a very popular spot. And unless you like people walking around you all night long, I wouldn't recommend it. Go to Obnob. Pay a little $3 and just sleep in the parking lot there. I did that the next weekend at the BFL weekend. Much better. It was great. But yeah, I mean, there's no offense. This is not offensive at all. No offense to the people that live around South Holston. There's not a whole lot of things to do. Within 45 minutes, probably. Maybe an hour. I don't know. Not a whole lot to do other than go to the lake. And so, coming in and out, doing donuts, go swimming, making out on the trunk right next to us, just walking around, doing whatever you want to. That's fine. I would, too, if that's where I lived. I do it sometimes here. But it doesn't make for the best sleeping quarters. So, I don't recommend doing that. But, yeah, we just didn't catch them at all. We weren't even on the way in, then we caught two in like the last 30 minutes fishing around a marina. It was bizarre. It was kind of weird at how awful it was. So still, I did take off that next Friday because I didn't have any classes that day. That's right. The way my school schedule worked out, I didn't have any classes on Friday before the BFL. So I got to go up and fish all day on Friday, which was great. And just because I got to fish an extra day. And I still didn't catch them very good in the BFL. I think I was like 40th. I had 11 pounds. But I only had four fish, and I could not catch a fifth one to save my life. I did totally different stuff that week. And this is what's so frustrating, is I consider myself a decent Carolina rig fisherman. I love throwing a Carolina rig. It's one of my favorite things. And it seemed perfect. Like, the smallmouth are post-spawn. There's a lot of good-looking stuff to rig on out there. And I couldn't catch them doing it at all. My one big one I caught that day was the only fish I caught Carolina rig. I caught like a 4-pounder was my second keeper. Everything else I caught cranking a 5XD. And it was real spurry, too. That first spot, I caught my first and second keeper off the same spot. And then I caught my third and fourth one back-to-back. And I caught one short fish and lost one that I never saw. So I got 6 bites, really, that I can remember. And it just was bad. I couldn't figure it out. Because really, the only thing that I thought, the one thing that I thought had, you know, some potential for me to catch them was either Carolina rigging or just running points with a crankbait all day. And that's what I did. Until the last couple hours, I was really just rotating. I had like 10 or 15 good looking points that had a bunch of bait on them. And I'd run them with that crankbait and I just didn't catch them. But we had 11 pounds. So at least we kind of salvaged a little bit of pride after sucking it up in the Morristown so bad. Not that I'm condoning a 40th place finish either, but it was better. It was improvement at least. And that place has just been tricky for me. It's really, if you've never been there, it's really small. It's really pretty. It's a gorgeous place. And it really wasn't that crowded with the BFL. I mean, you had half the boats on it you had in the Morristown. So I was surprised at how lightly crowded it was. There's as many houseboats out there as there were regular bass boats. But anyways, there is, if you haven't heard about this, this sit brought to you by Orange Shrimp Soup. Waiting on your call, Rain. We're waiting on it. Welcome anytime aboard the show. Anyways, there is, if you haven't heard about the Old Walter 2.0 event, this is cool. And if I was going to be in town, I'd fish it. Or it's not really an event. It's just going on all weekend. But they have tagged a bass. I say they. I don't know who it is. Watson's Marine posted it. I don't know if they're the ones doing it or not. But there is one tagged smallmouth in South Holston. His name is, or her name, Old Walter 2.0. And if you catch Old Walter on June 12th or June 13th, live or artificial bait, it doesn't matter. You catch Old Walter, you get $100,000. At least that's how I understand it. That you don't register, you don't do anything as far as signing up for it. You just go out and fish. So I don't know if that's going to attract a big crowd or not. Seems like it could. It might be slammed on Saturday and Sunday. Or it might just be a regular weekend. I don't know. But it would be fun. I've never heard of that before. So that was kind of a cool thing. I saw my brother sent it to me. I saw a couple people post about it, but if you're looking for something to do this weekend, next weekend, maybe go to South Holston and try to catch Old Walter 2.0. I don't know what happened to Old Walter 1.0. I don't know if Old Walter 1.0 got ate by a rockfish or what, but maybe it's an old fish. I don't know. Doesn't matter. You could go catch Old Walter 2.0 and win $100,000, and that would be cool. But you got to catch it on one of those 2 days. My luck, I'd be out there and catch it on like the 14th or something. Or actually, I wouldn't be even that lucky. But anyways, that would be cool. So I was trying to think. Anything else? Fishing-wise, so this summer, Dana is very, very busy this summer, and I'm just trying to be as helpful as possible. She is writing her thesis, getting ready to defend her thesis to graduate with her PhD from UT. And we are going, the reason I won't be here to fish for Old Walter 2.0, rest in peace 1.0, is because we're going to Philadelphia on Tuesday. First time either one of us have ever been in the city. We're going to go do some apartment hunting, see if we can find somewhere to live when we move up there at the end of the summer. So that'll be really cool. And so we'll be coming back this weekend. We'll get 3 or 4 days up there. Never been. Can't wait to explore it. And that'll be cool. If there is anybody, if by chance one of the tens of you that are listening or watch this are from Pennsylvania or know anything about fishing in Pennsylvania, well, let me know. The only thing that I've heard so far, and I knew one person in college, Garrett Enders, who I know he's from Pennsylvania somewhere, but I remember seeing him catching smallmouth on the Susquehanna River. And I know that there's some other people I've seen that, as far as bass fishing goes, it's the only bass fishing that I see taking place in Pennsylvania from the perspective of somebody in Tennessee, is on the Susquehanna River. I'm like, oh, well, let's see where it is. Well, it runs through the whole state, just about. I could pull it up, but I'll probably mess my computer up. Susquehanna River. River in the United States. Okay, not the whole state. Well, it runs from north to south. It kind of cuts through the whole thing. So that's cool. Oh, but it's on the eastern part. So at least it should be somewhat close to Philadelphia. I think there's smallmouth. I know there's some smallmouth in it. So that could be fun. Some river smallmouthing. But I wonder, too, how much people really fish for them up there. I don't know. I wonder if it's a lot of guys fishing for walleyes, maybe. I don't know. I've never been. Of course, from Lake Erie. I'll be a little bit closer to the Great Lakes. I've only ever been on Lake Erie one day and St. Clair one day, but I probably caught more smallmouth in those 2 days than I've caught in my entire life put together. Fished with Todd Hollowell on St. Clair on day one of when they were called Everstarts. They're the, Lord, what are they now? Toyota series. Well, it changes every year. They were Everstarts, they were Costas, they were whatever. But the Toyota series, we fished the first day and caught the dog crap out of them on St. Clair. That's the only time I've ever had somebody in any of those tournaments I've ever gotten drawn with when they're like, dude, we're going to wreck them tomorrow. Like, we're going to catch a ton. I remember him saying, after we've got 15 pounds apiece, we're not even going to get the net unless we think it's over 3 pounds. I'm like, yeah, right. Well, we did. We freaking just wailed on them. And then went out the second day on Erie and didn't catch as many on Erie, but caught a couple better ones on Erie. But anyways, I'm still not super close to the Great Lakes. I'm trying to look it up right now. How far away Philadelphia is going to be. It still is probably like 5 hours. No, really? Oh, no. I typed in St. Clair and it took me to St. Clair, Pennsylvania. I'm still not close, but I'm a whole lot closer than I am in Tennessee. It looks like I'm about, give or take, my appears to be outside our current range for driving. That's ridiculous. Cleveland looks like it's close to Erie. Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm trying to think of people that I know that live up there. Like Tanner Ward is in Cleveland. No, he's not in Cleveland. But I think Tanner's in Ohio. And Nathan Quince. There's people that I've met in college. He's somewhere up there. Gotta see him fishing Erie all the time. So I'm going to have to hit them up. See if they'd be down to teach me what those smallmouth are all about. But anyways, so just looking forward to new experiences. And from the forest side of things, I know I spend a lot of time on the fins, especially in the spring. Oh, and turkey, yeah, if you were waiting for some turkey hunting content, my apologies. Not very good at it. Not very good at it at all. That's what I've learned. I will tell this story real quick. I had a turkey at about 10 yards that I had in eyesight for about 5 seconds, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was clueless, actually. I was about to leave the lease, and I was walking away from the bird. I didn't know he was there yet. He hadn't gobbled yet. Walking away, I hear a bird gobble. I stop. I'm like, oh, good sign. Sounded like he was just on the other side of the little dip on the lake. Not our property, but if he flew across by some chance, he would be. So I do my little bad little turkey. Whatever. Didn't sound very good. Probably. It sounds terrible. And then I stand there for about 10 minutes, and he gobbles again. And he sounds a little closer. He's like, ooh, I better go this way. So I start walking towards him, and he's being quiet. I hadn't heard anything. I'm like, well, I'm just going to sit down. So what does my stupid self do? I just sit down in the middle of this little game trail on the side of this real steep ridge. I'm just going to sit here. See where he gobbles at next. Well, the next time he gobbled, he didn't gobble again. But I'm sitting there. I hadn't sat down for 2 minutes. I don't have a shell in the gun. Nothing. I don't know what's going on. I'm an idiot. And here, the next thing I hear is this. I thought, oh, that sounds like a turkey flying. I look up, and he lands 10 yards in front of me. Lands on the trail I'm sitting on, and I'm sitting behind a tree. It's about that big around. And I'm sitting there with a gun in my lap that doesn't have a shell in it. And there he does. Hits the trail. 10 yards. And it's like noon. And I look about like that. And so I try to slide it in real slow. And as soon as he hit the ground, he starts walking on. See that beard just dragging the ground. He's just like, I heard something over here. And he popped over this little rise. And he wasn't 10, 15 yards above me. And I slide the shell in. And I creep up the hill. And I put my head over top, and he's gone. I have no earthly idea where he went. Not a clue. I don't know if he saw me when he hit the ground and just started walking. Or if he was just going that way anyways. Probably was. He pitched right across. Literally landed almost in my lap. And I was just sitting there like Gomer Pyle, like, there's a bird. It's ridiculous. That's the extent of my turkey hunting experience. And I did get to go with two guys from school. Shout out to John Thomas and Ben Williamson. Thank you for taking me turkey hunting and showing me how it's actually done. Well, almost. Ben missed the bird he shot at. But it was cool. We were in birds a lot. More than I've ever been in birds. And just watching them call and work one was really cool because they're a whole lot better at it than I am. And apologies to my father for I took his boat, his little Ranger, and I broke the trim motor because I hit a log running in the dark on Norse. Sorry. When we were turkey hunting. Anyways, as I extend my turkey hunting efforts, the only other thing that I want to touch on, this is what I'm more excited about, my hunting opportunities when I get to the North Country than I am fishing at this point. I'm not going to take the boat with me at first because we're going to be moving in like August. I've got maybe two, maybe three, maybe one tournaments down here in October. So I don't know how that's going to work out just with when we move and timing and everything and money wise. But I've got some tournaments down here in October, at least one. That so there's no point in me dragging the boat up there in August just to turn around and bring it back in October. So probably leave it here in the winter, probably better for it anyways, and then come get it when all the tournaments get going. Because the tournaments that are going to get going in January, February are going to be down south anyways. So probably leave the boat here and spend all my fall worrying about hunting up there and fishing with other people. And shout out to, and I'm going to pull this up and find his name while I'm talking about it. But it looks like I'm going to be wanting to spend as much time hunting in New Jersey as I am in Pennsylvania. My wife's family friend, let's see, is Jeff McCusker, who is who I go fishing with at the Cape in the summers when we go up there and visit them. I remember him saying something about New Jersey just being loaded with deer in certain parts of it. He's like, dude, you just kill them. They're all over the place. And I reached out to the only person that I've seen on social media that I know that hunts in New Jersey. And his Instagram tag, I'll put it in the bio if I remember. I'll remember. This is me telling him, remember to put it in the bio. His Instagram tag is Archery Athlete. His name's Ethan Bruzis. Bruzis? I got to get used to these northern names. I don't know. Bruzzese. Anyways, he hunts in New Jersey. And I sent him a message on Instagram. I was like, hey, I'm not looking, you know, I'm not trying to snag any of your hunting spots. He's like, I just heard that New Jersey's got a ton of deer and I just want to come shoot a bunch of does even. Cause I just like shooting them. Not for the sake of shooting them, but I like to fill a freezer. I just like killing deer. And it's like, I just want to come shoot does. You can have your bucks. But if New Jersey's got as many deer as I've heard that it has, I want to be focusing a lot of time there. And he's like, man, here's what you do. He gave me the name of a couple of park systems that he said, man, he said, I've killed like seven does out of there the last 2 years just bow hunting. And I don't think that's even where he spends a lot of his time hunting. And so I looked, and sure enough, there's not a limit to how many of them you can kill. Even out as many deer as we have in West Tennessee and some of those Unadilla counties, there's still a three-a-day limit. And on the New Jersey table, it literally just says for parts of the states, like, limitless, kill them all. Just whack them and stack them. And for one of those counties, I was reading on their like county parks page, it was explaining the hunting program. And it's like they were apologizing to the rest of the community. Like, look, we're sorry. We've got people deer hunting in here. They're going to be hunting up in the trees. You can't, you know, you won't even be able to see them. But we've got this deer problem. The coyotes can't solve it. They say the best thing to do is to have a hunt. So that's what they're for. And it's really kind of confusing. I'm going to have to get all the rules and stuff straightened out in my head once we get up there. But it's obviously not nearly as big of a deal to the powers that be up there because as far as it's like just, I don't know, coordinating, it's weird. Because on the page, it's like, oh, come by the parks office 2 weeks before the season opens and get your permit. And because I was like, oh, I wonder when are they going to release the maps? Because like every park has its own zone you can hunt in and times you can hunt in different parts, which is what could be potentially confusing or just something to keep up with. There's some places up there where you can't hunt on Sundays, I think it is, which is weird. I mean, it's just a whole other world, but I'm excited to get to know it. But yeah, if I can hop over to New Jersey and just like swack some does on a weekday, you have to hunt some of the weird rules. You have to hunt from a stand. You can't hunt from the ground, which makes sense. If you're like hiding in the bushes and Karen comes by with her little... comes by with her little poodle, and somebody like me that's used to being able to shoot at every coyote you see is like, what's that? What's that? And then you shoot Karen's $10,000 doodle bopper, then that's a problem. But you got to hunt from a stand. They're all for baiting up there, which I still don't think that I would want to do that because that just seems weird. Like, that's another very obvious difference from here to there. Is that they can bait them up there. And even in the parks. And I'm sure the parks are different than what I'm thinking of. But the parks up there, I'm thinking of like shooting one out of Fountain City Park across the street from the Duck Pond, which I know it's not like that. But they're like, oh, you can't bait until, what is it, like 2 weeks before the season starts? Then you can have up to 5 gallons of whatever bait. It's like, it said fruits, something else, and shelled grain, corn. Like, you could literally, in these parks, if you wanted to, you could go, and some of them are on golf courses, some of them are just in different places. You could go out there, dump 5 gallons of corn out 2 days before, as many deer as it sounds like there are, it's probably going to be about gone. I can go dump 5 gallons of corn, climb up the tree, and just sit there and be like, all right, which doe do I want to shoot first? And then about 10 minutes later, I'm going to shoot another one until I've shot enough to where I don't want to drag anymore. Is it really going to be like that? Probably not. But it sounds like it has the potential. And so that's weird. And I don't know what the hunting pressure is like up there. I have no clue. I'm sure you've got a big group of people that like to do it. It just doesn't seem like it's as high on the priority list as far as the authorities are involved or concerned. But anyways, so I'm excited to get to hunt in New Jersey. I've heard it sounds like the Pennsylvania deer density may not be great, but it sounds like New Jersey, it might be exploding. So we'll see. But I'm excited for that. I got to figure out. I'm going to have to make friends. I got to make friends for two reasons. I got to make friends because we're going to be living in an apartment renting somewhere for the first year. And so I need to make a friend that has a garage or at least somewhere to park a boat. And I'm going to have to make a friend that will let me quarter out deer in their driveway or in their yard or something. Of course, I guess you could just string it up in one of these parks. Be like, howdy, folks. Got a little deer cleaning session going on over here. If you'd like to bring the kids, go get the grandchildren. I'm going to be teaching a class. It's going to be great. We welcome all. I'll even let them cut the tenderloins out. No, I wouldn't. But I don't know. I gotta make some friends pretty quick up there as far as that goes. But anyways, I can't wait. I'm stoked. Just to have somewhere different to hunt, a different part of the country, it'll be really, really cool. And I think there's some bears up there. I don't know if it's a bunch, but apparently they've got some bears in New Jersey too. I don't know if it's enough to even have a season for. But a lot of the stuff I'm seeing on there, I'm seeing bear things. So that's exciting. All right, let me look. Yeah. Cool. I think that's all I got. But I'm thrilled. Follow along on Instagram. I'll post a lot this week just for us being around the city because now I haven't posted on Instagram or stories as much for the last few months because I had a phone that was just in the pits. It was an old iPhone 6. I shattered the screen. Its battery died like within an hour. It was awful. We've got an upgrade. We've even got this cool little camo Pelican case. And it's nice to like open the phone and it actually works. So I can post stories and it doesn't take me 10 minutes anymore. So I'll post a bunch from Philadelphia in general. Might get to go see the Phillies game. Gotten big into the Phillies lately. And yeah, if we get a chance, I'm going to take a rod and maybe weasel our way to a creek or something. Oh, I had to buy a license, so I don't know if I want to do that for 3 days. We'll see. Anyways, it'll be a big time. All right. Last thing I remind you of is a giveaway. Hit subscribe and you're automatically entered to win a hat. To win a hat and a sticker. I'll send you three. If you win the hat, I'll send you at least three stickers. I got a bunch of them here. And shout out, last thing. You can also enter on Instagram. You might win both of them. You might win both the Instagram and the YouTube if you enter on both. A shout out to the Gibbs Screaming Eagles. Not screaming. The Gibbs Eagles baseball team, they won the flipping Division II state championship last week. The boys of Gibbsburg. I've got the little thing they gave me right here. Gibbs High School, Gibbsburg. Boom. All right. That's all I got. Appreciate your time. Thanks for keeping up with us. maybe if you're having a little girl in the future, you consider naming her Gomer. All right. Have a phenomenal day, a phenomenal week, a phenomenal month, a phenomenal year, and we will see you all next time. We'll be right back.